Single quantum dots.
So I work in a Stephen Hughes group at Queen's University, and in this talk I will discuss challenges in making a source of entangled photon using quantum dots, and then how putting quantum dot in a photonic crystal can be helpful for practical purpose. Okay, quantum dots are four level system. So here is a schematic diagram for that. So G is ground state, and X and Y are like spin up, spin down, excitonic states, and they have an anisotropic energy gap delta X. It occurs naturally in quantum dots, and U is by excitonic state, and because of Coulomb interaction, the energy of by excitonic state is lowered by its binding energy delta XX than the single excitons. In quantum dots, entangled photon can be generated when by excitron decays to by excitons, and so if you pump the quantum dot in by excitron state and it decays by X state, and it will emit X polarized photon pair, and if it will decay by a by excitron state, it will emit a bipolarized photon pair. The emitted photon pair will be perfectly entangled if there is a those photons are not degenerate in frequency. Means you cannot, they are not distinguishable, but because of this anisotropic energy gap, photons becomes distinguishable, and finally the state is not entangled. So for generating entangled photon in this scheme, one has to remove this anisotropic energy gap, and for that there are a few proposals. Some of them are even partially successful. So like you filter out some indistinguishable photon pairs, or you use external field to push these excitonic states using G-Mann shift or Stark shift, and then make it degenerate. So there is another approach. If you remove this binding energy, then the photons matches in energy across generation. So like first generation photon here U2X will match in energy with by 2G, and similarly this U2Y will match with X 2G. So in that case, photons are indistinguishable in energy, but again if you see that the emitted state of the photon pair is not entangled, and here the problem is the they are distinguishable in time. So in this X photon pair, omega 1 photon is generated in first, then omega 2, and in y polarized photon pair, omega 2 is generated first, then omega 1. So you can distinguish both photon pair in time, and finally state is not entangled. For generating entangled photon pair in this case, you need to rearrange the time ordering using time delays, properly delaying photons before they hit the detector. So these are basic challenges. Okay. Yeah. So to see that in detail, if we can write down the X state for the emitted photon pair for within generation, and so the first part is X polarized photon pair of mode K and L, and the second one is Y polarized photon pair of mode K and L. And for across generation, when you remove the binding energy, then you have the second term will have reverse ordering, because now photons are generated in reverse order. So here is L photon, L mode photon first, and then the K mode photon. And these coefficients are given by this one for cascade decay. And for calculating how much the entanglement is there in the state, we use polarization state basis. And for calculate the off-diagonal element of the two photon density matrix, which is like this one, it will give you concurrence directly, because for this state, the concurrence is simply two times of modulus of off-diagonal element of density matrix. So then we calculate this for within generation, and then the concurrence is given by this one, which is like Lorentzian in delta X, means anisotropic energy gap. So it's all the the generated state of photon pair has a significant entanglement only when delta x is going to be is very small. So you need to make degenerate excitons. And for that, as we know that from the cavity QED in a strong coupling regime, the stark shift is comparable with this anisotropic energy gap. So if you can tune in cavities by putting dot, and then you can overcome with this problem in cavities. And then on the other hand, for across generation, if we calculate this octagonal density matrix, this one, then it turns out to be zero. So and the reason is simple, that now the your photon pairs are distinguished well in time. So time reordering is required. So for time reordering, see, we delay first generation photons so that they appear with the second generation of photon when they hit the detector. So suppose we delay by time t0, so this delay will simply generate the phase, this additional phase in the expression of this octagonal density matrix element. So we put that phase here and we calculate this one. Now we get non-zero expression for our gamma. And it depends on your ratio between the decay rates, gamma u and gamma. So let us see how much entanglement one can get doing time reordering. For quantum dot, Bayxton decays at almost two times faster than the excitons. So this gamma u over gamma ratio is 2. And then we get gamma 0.25 only. So concurrence is 50%. So if you do the perfect time reordering, then we will get only 50% entanglement. But if we can manipulate these decay rates and we make it this like it's a negligible gamma u over gamma, then the gamma will be 1 over e and we will have more than 70% concurrence in that case. So here we have shown that this is modulus of gamma, its concurrence is 2 times of that, and here is a time delay. So this is the optimum value of time delay one need to generate a maximum concurrence. So the upper curve is for gamma u over gamma tending to 0, it's a gamma u over gamma. So for generating entangled photon pair in across scheme, we need to manipulate the decay rates. And it's also well known that in cavities, you can do that very easily. So basically, I have shown that we have two problems. One, we have to remove anisotropic energy gap, or in the second scheme, we need to manipulate decay rates. And both things in cavities are it's very easy to do that. So let us go for that. And here is quantum dot. It's placed in a photonic crystal cavity like this, and we consider that there are two modes in the cavity. One is x polarized and y polarized, and they interact with the excitons states x and y. But bayxton has a very large binding energy, and because of that, it effectively will remain uncoupled with the cavity modes, and we can tune these cavity modes using various methods like Helena's talk. She showed many different ways for tuning these frequencies. And doing that, you can tune the star shift basically. And then you can make degenerate polariton here. So that this case, we calculate the spectrum coming for the photons coming out from the system. And a spectrum looks like this one. So the first part is simple, this energy conservation, like both photons will have the same energy, like omega u. But second two Lorentzians are, this is cavity-induced splitting in a spectrum. And there is another possibility, like first photon is coming out from the radiative decay, and the second is leaking out from the cavity modes. Then we have the same spectrum, but here numerator is quite large. So this term is effective than the first one. And these spectrums are like a joint probability distribution in omega k and omega l. So if we integrate over one, then we will get the spectrum for the another photon. So here if we integrate it for yxon photon, then we will get spectrum for the photons coming out from the excitons. So this spectrum has peaks corresponding to the polariton states, that's obvious. So, and then the photons coming out from the bi-exciton will have peak corresponding to omega u minus polariton frequencies from the energy conservation. So now we know that our photons are having peaks at this and this in a spectrum. These are the frequencies emitting, I mean the photons have. So we can tune these delta C x and y and make them degenerate easily. So here is a spectrum after properly selecting these detunings. So there could be one possibility, like we can make both polariton state degenerate, and this is x polarized is blue and bipolarized is red here. So and then the bi-exciton photons will automatically get degenerate. And then there is another one, like we couldn't manage to make degenerate both, then at least we can do the for one. So here is one polariton is degenerate with the another polarization polariton, and same with the bi-exciton photons. And this is when both photons are coming out spontaneously. So this has very less probability, so we can even neglect it. For here, now these photons are completely degenerate in frequencies. However, for here we can put some spectral filter around these degenerate peaks and remove those photons which are not matching in frequencies. Okay. So here are the results. So for concurrence, then finally we saw here that we can get, in using these things, we can get concurrence more than 90% even. Okay. So finally, we have shown that we can tune the anisotropic energy gap if we put dot in the photonic crystal cavity. But there is problem, like bi-exciton is not coupled with the cavity modes, so it will have very long lifetime. So you just keep waiting that when it will decay, it will have lot of time uncertainty when photons will be generated. And then there is another problem, it is decaying spontaneously, so the collection efficiency will also be poor. So we need to couple the bi-exciton also with the cavity mode. For that, we have to remove that bi-exciton binding energy. So in this paper, they have shown that using lateral field, one can remove this bi-exciton binding energy. So this is the another way to miss. Now I will show that using cavities, you can even manipulate the decay rates for the across generation. So if you remove this bi-exciton binding energy, then bi-exciton will be resonant with the same cavity mode, and the same here. So now if you tune this one, basically you will tune the bi-exciton decay rates. So and it's also like a big coupling regime is more efficient for tuning the decay rates than the strong coupling regime. So here big coupling regime is beneficial. So if we choose big coupling regime, and then we can tune these frequencies, and so finally we tune the bi-exciton and exciton decay rates. And then here is a spectrum. It's basically degenerate, like the larger one is coming out from the exciton, and that broader and shorter one is from bi-exciton. And this is for a strong coupling regime. It's coming very close, and sometimes it even messes up. We need to put large retuning, so it's not very, very good for this purpose. So finally, if we calculate the octagonal density matrix, same, then it turns out to be zero because we have not done so far time reordering. For time reordering, we insert this phase inside this one, and even we can do one distillation of entanglement using filters, like we filter out photons around the peaks, and that will help us because the photons do not get time reorder properly, even if we delay those things. So and around peaks, they get perfectly time reordered, so they will have larger concurrence. So then we calculate this one for weak coupling regime. Without any filtering, we can have more than 70% concurrence just only because of time reordering, and the cavities has manipulated the decay rates. And if we use spectral filtering, then we can get more than 90% even. But big coupling, strong coupling regime, the results are poor, so it's not very effective. However, if we do not remove binding energy completely, we can also do within generation, and that's very this could be the best method or approach. So you partially remove the binding energy of the wax stone so that it can be tuned to the cavity modes, and then we do within generation, and then we can get this type of a spectrum, and we get more than 90% concurrence. Yeah? Okay.
Okay, thank you.